From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on July 2nd, 2016. It was the closing night of the 2016 Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. And a traditional favorite took the stage, Trombone Shorty, but this time the band played to thousands of people in a bigger space, Rochester's so-called Parcel 5. Among that crowd were developers and downtown planners, and almost instantly an idea took root. Instead of building a massive tower or a retail plaza or performing arts center, maybe the city should leave that site open. Green space, perhaps, but something that is more open to everyone. As it turns out, that is not the direction that the lovely Warren administration decided to go with Parcel 5. This spring, the mayor announced that the city would pave the way for a long-debated performing arts center to rise in that space. It will be accompanied by housing as well, though we're not exactly clear on the details of that. The chairman of the Rochester Broadway Theater League, Arnie Rothschild, called this announcement a major victory for the city. And on this program, he told us, it's a done deal. There's no stopping it now. Yes, developers still need to secure many millions of dollars in funding, but Rothschild said, there are multiple avenues to get that done, and it will get done. And yet, a growing grassroots group believes it's far too soon to proclaim Parcel 5 a done deal. They want all of us to step back and take another look before anything is built. And it's Jazz Fest time again, with another electric crowd expected at Parcel 5 this coming weekend, when Daniel Ponder and the Tomorrow People take the stage, followed by the Hooligans, which is Bruno Mars' band. And John Nugent, the director of the festival, told us on this program last Thursday, small chance we'll even see Bruno Mars himself at Parcel 5 rocking out there. So what is this group's actual goal, though, when it comes to Parcel 5? How are they going about it? Let's talk about all of that and more this hour with our guests that include Ray Ray Matrano. Ray Ray is a local social practice artist. First of all, nice seeing you in studio.
Yeah, it's nice to be here.
And tell us what a local social practice artist is, Ray Ray.
Social practice art is art that focuses on community engagement through usually unexpected types of gathering or art that comes to people where they least expect it. So usually outside of a gallery or a museum, in the streets, at an event, and it can be done in all sorts of media, installation-based, where the audience is participating and not expecting to having made art. It can be with a group of people collaboratively figuring out a work together. There's, if you just search social practice art on Google, it'll come up right in a exclusive keyword box for you right there, and lots of artists contemporary doing so.
I was in the Cleveland area this weekend, and I saw a guy riding his bike downtown, and he was wearing some kind of a sculpture. And as I got closer, I said, what does it say? And it said, no more bullying on it. And I got a good look at it. I couldn't exactly tell. I didn't have a lot of time. But is that an example of that kind of approach?
Yeah, yeah. There's no real category. I'd recommend Tino Segal, T-I-N-O-S-E-H-G-A-L. His work is it's been actually brought into the Guggenheim in New York City in an amazing way. I'd recommend looking up his Guggenheim show in progress from about 8 years ago, and that's a great example of social practice art.
All right, very good. So that's Ray Ray. Heidi Riegel is here, and she's an AmeriCorps member serving at Food Link and a recent college graduate. So how's it going?
It's going well.
Well, it's great to have you here. And how did you get involved with the Parcel 5 conversation?
I believe I heard, this is going to sound set up, but I believe I heard you speaking on the radio about it.
It's not set up. That's wonderful.
Along with hearing some other friends saying, oh, we're going to the city council meeting to speak about this space in downtown that we're concerned about and we care about.
Okay, well, thank you for being here. And also here is Kelly Cheadle, who's artistic director at Aragami. How did you get involved here?
So actually, that city council meeting, my friend Mary Lupien, who's running for city council, she invited me because she knows that I've been kind of interested to see what's going to happen to that space. So she invited me to the city council meeting with a bunch of other folks to kind of voice our thoughts on the matter so that way, you know, everybody has a seat at the table, you know, with our opinions being out there.
All right. So, listeners, I want to make something clear as well here. You know, this is not necessarily some listeners have sort of, I don't want to say complained, but gently prodded the host of this program in recent months that, you know, you're talking about Parcel 5 like it's a done deal just because the city announced this or whatever, or city council members say X, Y, and Z. But they've sort of gently said you're ignoring this growing effort to draw more attention to maybe stop that from happening. And I certainly don't want to ignore it. And that's why we have this panel here this hour. Now, this panel does not include any pro-RBTL and pro-performing arts folks, but I want the phones to be open and have a community conversation about what's going to happen at Parcel 5. And we'll talk about that. Now, that's the space that's, I think, just over an acre, like 1.17 or something like that.
That sounds about right.
Just over an acre, and it's, you know, where Main almost intersects with East, right down there, and that's it. And that's Parcel 5, and it's that empty space. And Ray, for you, this has become a passion project, but why this space? There's so many things in our community that you do pour your time into. Why did you add this to the list?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, I'm coming off of the 2016 U.S. elections, which coincided with my thesis here in a graduate master's program through SUNY Brockport, and I did it in the city of Rochester at Visual Studies Workshop, which is accredited for this sort of hybrid MFA in visual studies. And I've been holding a lot of social practice art type events, you know, in their auditorium around the city of Rochester, doing this sort of thesis exploring civics through art. And, you know, it got me deeply engaged in the political process, not just in terms of getting someone elected on a campaign, but also all of the ligaments that attach to those campaigns surrounding the issues. I believe issues are what people vote for, even if they vote for the same person. If you had them spill out their issues in front of you, you might have vastly different opinions. And this issue of Parcel 5 seems to be something that the city is really curious about, and the suburbs are really curious about. People came to that jazz fest for Trombone Shorty show last year, and they said, wow, this is a great space. We actually had never been down here, really didn't know where it was. They should just leave it like this. This is a great space to cultivate. And for me, someone who tries to engage public in unexpected ways, this seemed like a very natural issue to start just creating actions at the actual Midtown Parcel 5 space and seeing who would show up or who would just be there naturally. And it's brought me to City Council about 4 or 5 times this spring. Every month, City Council has a meeting that's open to the public. I'd highly recommend it. It's not as scary as I thought it would be to go speak. You can sign up. It's just like an open mic. They give you 2 minutes from 6:30 on a Tuesday night till 7:30, and we've been packing the city council every month as much as we can with people who share their particular individual perspectives on what should be there. And if 3 of the city council members out of the 9 city council member vote no when the mayor does decide to bring the Broadway retail condo proposition to them, then it will not pass. And if city council members are given the evidence that people want this space to remain open and possibly be some sort of dynamic civic space that, you know, cultivates small business economies, urban nature awareness, and fosters, in my opinion, the most important part of it being open would be the much needed social integration factor. We have this space that's the heart of the city, and we have to question if what we're going to put there is going to pump for all. Is it going to be a place where a few people go for a Broadway show? And I say a few people in terms of the demographic of people that usually go to Broadway shows is pretty particular, and possibly only 180 nights a year. And it comes from the production of Broadway, which there are great Broadway shows, but there's also a lot of, you know, more homogeneously produced Broadway productions that don't really stoke the curiosity like maybe some of the productions at Muck and Blackfriars and Jiva locally might do. And what if there was a coalition of nonprofits and small businesses like Muck and Blackfriars and Jiva that put on public events there at this potential civic space that could exist there, like at the Visionary Square proposal from thisisnotapark.com What if, you know, Java's and Joe Bean and all sorts of local cafes came together, and the Little Theater and Dryden and, you know, anti-poverty initiatives and groups came together and programmed this space as a coalition of community-minded events, you know, where people can just go to see what's going on and not even have an idea of the planning. You know, if you know there's a Broadway theater there and you know you're not going to go to a Broadway show, you might not ever go inside that performing arts center, which, you know, coming from a performance artist, might seem crazy that I'm opposed to having a performing arts center, but I don't think it's the type of performing arts that this city really could benefit from. And we could have something that, you know, is a progressively bold decision that makes people who live around Parcel 5 really want to stay there. I've talked to people who live in the Tower 280 and, you know, pretty well-off people, and they say they want a reason to live downtown that isn't just to be around buildings. They want something that makes the neighborhood feel prosperous and is allowing them to really get into the unique culture and the arts of Rochester. Yeah, you know, that's a mouthful, but
yeah, that's what you've been telling City Council for a couple of months.
What I've been telling City Council from my perspective is someone who's looking for a full-time job and is looking for a reason to seek out that full-time job to pay for my graduate loans in Rochester. And there's a lot of people who leave Rochester because they feel they have a disjointed downtown experience. There's a lot of people who don't really even know where Liberty Pole is in relation to High Falls, in relation to East Avenue. People are very isolated in the downtown experience in terms of walkability. I find even people who have been here for a while just haven't been around, and I don't think we have a healthy circulatory structure going on in our downtown, which is why I, you know, started hosting public happenings there. We did back on May 4th. Off of the Visionary Square proposal, we were miming a fake Visionary Square, which is where I met Kelly Cheadle of Arigami and Heidi Riegel, who, you know, brought these dance elements to it. And people were miming, you know, everything from nature to small business vendors to unexpected interactions to community gardening advocacy, you know, performance-based things, rally-based things, communication-based things for, you know, if some people are running for city council or if they're trying to advocate something. We need a space that's more than just a park or a square. We need something that's actively allowing the Rochester community to create within it and put on public programming that invigorates the city for all, and not just you know, this Broadway theater condo retail proposal. If you've noticed the schematic proposal image that the mayor put out, I believe it has a Maserati in it. I don't know. I'm not sure of the car's make. If anyone has seen that image and wants to call in and verify if it's a Maserati or not, but it, you know, those images say a lot about who this performing arts center residential retail building with no public space option would be for. And this option also was not through the public process. The past year, the city was accepting proposals for Parcel 5. And there was the Galena development, which you know, had residential and retail and an arcade going through the middle of it so you could see through it. And there was public space in the back, and supposedly there were people who were leaning towards that in the city, and something happened one weekend. I don't know, somebody went out of town in the mayor's administration, or I heard...
So, well, there's a lot of hearsay here.
There's a lot of hearsay. But then this soundbite comes out with this unexpected Broadway condo retail thing that didn't go through public process, like the Visionary Square and the Galena development, and you know, the Soul Broadway Theater. And, you know, this is an example, too, of civic literacy and why civic education is so important in schools. People, you know, hear the headlines, the mayor chose the Broadway condo retail, and it's a done deal for the Performing Arts Center. No, it needs to go before the city council. And if they vote no because their constituents tell them, no, this is not a good idea, you know, that would be a great example of not just government top-down decisions, but grassroots people
bottom-up
taking part in their city's civic process.
One of the reasons that we keep hearing it's a done deal is, well, some of the people involved say so. Rochester Broadway Theater League Chairman Arnie Rothschild on this program. This is what he had to say about whether this could be derailed in any way. This is what he said on this program. Let's listen.
I don't believe anything's going to derail it. I there's no answer for that. I think this is now this. I think this is the pivotal, changing moment in time for the city of Rochester, and I think that the community is going to embrace it. And I'm very confident about our ability to put the money together. And you know, when I talk about the state, that's only if my estimates are wrong. I think this is liable to be all privately funded locally.
All right, that's Arnie Rothschild saying nothing will derail it. So, Kelly Cheadle, I think the point that we're hearing from you guys today is that, kind of true to what Ray Ray was just saying, it still is in council's hands. That's still an open question.
I mean, the process is not complete. So I think, as you know, I appreciate you having us on because, you know, as part of being unbiased journalists, you're making sure that, you know, there may be lots of people saying that, you know, this is a done deal, but until city council votes, it is not a done deal. And this is an opportunity for people to voice their opinions on what they would like to see this space downtown become. To me, I think, you know, historically Rochester, with our big companies, you know, you had Xerox, you had Kodak, you had Bausch & Lomb, downtown people, executives would drive in from the suburbs and, you know, at 5 o'clock, the city shut down. And so how do you change the kind of dynamic of the city when they're used to things being closed at 5 o'clock? You know, our studio isn't in the city center, but it's, you know, just down the street, and trying to get something to eat, you know, when you're working in the studio late at 8 o'clock at night can sometimes be a challenge because a lot of people are still in that old pattern of, oh, the city shuts down at 5 o'clock. So to me, a space like this, I think, is an opportunity to, you know, I'm not going to begrudge a theater group that wants to upgrade their facilities. Like, I get that. And I understand that there's some challenges with the existing structure. But to me, Parcel 5 is an opportunity to create not a destination for people downtown, but part of a journey for them in the downtown area. So they're not just going to come, park, see a show, leave. They are going to live downtown. They are going to experience something in that space. And maybe it is pop-up shops that are, you know, in corners of the city that people don't usually go to. But, you know, they know that on Thursdays, let's say, that there will be pop-up food boutiques and you can try something different. And then, oh, I just discovered this new store that I didn't know about because I didn't go over there. But since I tried it at Parcel 5, I might venture out over there. So I think it's an opportunity to make sure that everyone has the ability to access this space, and not just the few folks that can afford the fancy cars that are parked in front of the picture.
That picture is taking a lot of flack this hour. Before I get to your phone, if you're on the phone, I will be coming to you in just a moment. Let me just follow up with Kelly on one point there. I think a lot of people will relate to your frustration with the idea that the city shuts down, that it's harder to find food. It's, you know, there's not always an option. I think RBTL and Arnie Rothschild would argue that it's not just a performing arts center. It is a ripple effect that they hope to see on more businesses staying open longer, catering to, yes, those customers, but others as well, that there could be sort of this energizing effect. You don't see that?
It's not that I don't see that as a possibility. I think right now you have an open square. I think the revolutionary, or sorry, the
visionary
square, not revolutionary. It could be revolutionary. The visionary square proposal was a low impact proposal. I think it's an opportunity to try something out and slowly change people's perception of the downtown space and get people starting to keep their doors open later. And I don't mean to say that everybody closes at 5.
No, I take the point, though.
But, you know, why couldn't we try something like that, that was low impact for a few years, get people going downtown? If you put a building there, it's, you know, we had so much trouble with the Fast Ferry with some of these other projects that, you know, were built with the expectation of getting funding or, you know, if you build it, they will come. This is something that could be done without much financial outlay that could have a big impact on the surrounding areas. And if it doesn't work, it's, you know, we move the container buildings that we were using for temporary shops. You know, I just found out that the Liberty Pole used to have an eternal flame and a fountain, which are no longer being used because they weren't that plan for what to do with it and how to maintain it afterwards wasn't there. So I really want to see something in that space that can be maintained, that can grow and can kind of change our perception of how we live in our downtown.
Okay. Did you guys all, were you all there last summer when Trombone Shorty played? Were you there? Ray, were you there?
Is my mic on?
Your mic's not on. I can't hear you, Ray. There you are.
I was not there for that, no.
Okay. Obviously, you saw the images and whatnot.
The images.
Did you see it?
No, I was not.
None of you guys?
I was
there.
Were there.
How do you
were
there?
Yeah.
So, and you're going to be there this coming Saturday?
Hopefully, if I'm not out of town.
By the way, I'll say it again. It's Daniel Ponder and the Tomorrow People, who are an awesome live show.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be followed by the Hooligans, which is Bruno Mars's band. And it's possible, though I don't know that it's probable, but it's possible Bruno Mars himself will show up and play a little bit. The bottom line is, can you give a sense for what that was like last year?
Yeah, actually, last year at the Trombone Shorty show, that was my first time in the space at Parcel 5. I didn't know that there was an open space downtown with all the lights around, and I was amazed to see the number of people that were there enjoying the space, and I was just really impressed by it.
Did it feel like this is not a temporary stopover for what the space is, and eventually they should build something here? Did it feel to you like, wow, this is what the space is meant to be?
Yeah, it was like, oh, wait, have there been shows going on here all along? Because it's a good setup for it. Like, you have all the buildings around that are already lit up. You don't have to bring lights in for all that. I was like, wow, I would come to shows here all the time. You can hear the music throughout the city. You can just walk over there. I live downtown, so I could walk over from my apartment.
What was the atmosphere like among that? Give me a sense for just not just for the quality of the show, but what it was like being in that space with all those people.
Just full of a lot of energy. People just enjoying walking around with their friends. There were families there.
It's a beautiful space now. And I don't say this as someone taken aside here. It's not my role in this conversation, but if you stand there now, if you've ever had a cup of coffee at Fuego, or you've been down there and just kind of hanging out in the space, it is a beautiful space. You get to see a lot of the city from different angles, and we have a beautiful city.
Mm-hmm.
When people dog Rochester, it gets very frustrating. That's a great place to see how beautiful it is. If a performing arts center goes there, it doesn't mean that I necessarily won't think it's beautiful. It's just a very interesting space. So anyway, we're talking about Parcel 5, and Heidi Riegel is who I just posed that question to. She's an AmeriCorps member serving currently at Foodlink. And so now, before I jump to your phone calls for our second half hour, do you have a particular idea for what you do want it to be? We've talked about what the group doesn't want it to be, which is Performing Arts Center. But, you know, Ray talked about not just Visionary Square, mm-hmm. but also the Galena proposal, et cetera. Is it stop, start over, or is there a particular proposal for you, Heidi?
I'm not sure if there's a particular proposal for me yet. I think that we need more time for people to become aware of the fact that this space is open for discussion and for people to brainstorm what great ideas there are and things we could do. For me, living in the city, one of my goals for this space would be to make it a space where people can connect with people who live around them. Right now, I could go to a coffee shop and buy a coffee, but that's where people go with others that they're already with. I would like a space where I could just go and spend time and read a book or just walk around outside and have a chance to bump into other people who live in the city I live in, and also have it be a space that's accessible for everyone.
All right, every phone line's lit up, so let's get our only break. We'll come back. Let's see what our listeners think so far. We're talking to Heidi Riegel, Kelly Cheadle, Ray Matrano. They're all involved with the effort to put the brakes on this development at Parcel 5. And frankly, let's be honest, get people like me in the media to remember that it's not formally a done deal, that some of us sometimes talk about it like it's done because the Warren administration announced their preference. But what they want to say is City Council gets to decide, and they'd like City Council to know how they feel about it. So I'll get back to your phone calls after our only break of the hour. We'll see what you think when we come back on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on The Next Connections, we convene a panel of journalists to discuss not only how things are covered, but what gets covered at all. Megyn Kelly from NBC News took a lot of criticism for her decision to interview the conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. Should she have talked to him at all? What about Richard Spencer, the white nationalist, the white supremacist? Who should we interview and why? We'll talk about it Tuesday. Back to Connections. If you happen to see a guy walking around the city wearing a box, a multicolored box, he's banging on there and it says, "What do you want at Parcel 5 Midtown?" with a sticker that says "Free Parcel 5, you're probably going to bump into Ray Ray Matrano, who's a local social practice artist. He's here along with Kelly Cheadle and Heidi Riegel, and we're talking about the future of Parcel 5, this group that is essentially trying to put pressure on city council to remember that they get to decide and that they would like to see it open to everyone and much more accessible. What do you think as listeners? Let's go through your phone calls. Paul in Rochester first. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, Evan. Thank you so much for taking my call. As the director of 441 Ministries in the Beechwood neighborhood, I am really concerned of us losing availability and access to that space. I really liked the Visionary Square proposal, and even the Galena proposal gave access to a much broader portion of our community. The whole idea of an exclusive Broadway theater, for me, would just limit the vast majority of people that our organization is committed to. So I really hope that City Council will take the advice of many, many of us and do some sort of a modification so our community does not lose access to this very valuable space in the heart of our city.
Paul, thanks for the phone call. I think our listeners are going to have no dispute with what Paul said. But Ray Ray, you want to add to that? Go ahead.
Yeah, and this falls on citizens too. You know, civic participation isn't just voting I hope every year. Some people, a lot of people, as we've seen, only vote every 4 years. You need to get involved with things you care about and go to the meetings and meet with people and learn about what affects your city's local politics. And this is something, if you say, "Oh yeah, I want to keep that Free Parcel 5, keep it open, you know, I don't want luxury condos filling up our downtown and gentrifying it in a negative way," then you have to give your local spectrum of representation and know your city council and be registered to vote in the neighborhood you live in the evidence that you want this. So when they vote no on the mayor's proposal for the Broadway theater that you don't want, they have the evidence of their constituents to back it up. So it's not just the city government and the city council doing this for the people. It's the people participating and showing up and speaking to council. You know, your opinion is valuable. Even if you don't know too much about all of the political history of this situation with Midtown and all that, just going there and reading a statement and mailing it to your city council representatives and the mayor and emailing it to them, that provides the civic democracy, that's what democracy is. You know,
And you can't have a representative government if you don't let them know. Guys are clearly not psychic.
I mean,
I'm talking about like any government representative, you need to let them know these are your needs, and they're not going to be able to necessarily agree with every single one of yours, your needs in particular, because they have to balance them with the needs of the rest of the group.
Well, what are you hearing from council? Before I get back to your phone calls, what are you hearing from council?
What I read back in April, I mailed to all of them individually through the post mail, through email, and through speaking to council, and I heard back from three of them just giving me a thank you for expressing my opinion. I haven't been nagging them. You know, I hope others fill their inboxes and their mailboxes and their speak to council time. You know, it shouldn't just be a few people yelling about it. It should be everyone taking a few minutes, maybe not watching a Netflix movie one time out of the month, and just spending an hour and a half, you know, composing a well-thought paragraph and sending it over, or going to a city council meeting. And
don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Like if all you can come up with is a sentence that says, you know what, I really want you to think hard about what goes into Parcel 5 and make sure that, you know, my family that receives benefits is able to enjoy this space as much as the family that can afford the tickets to this mm-hmm. high-end event, because this is our space.
So, and just yesterday, a couple local musicians, they set up a pop-up electronic show. They brought out turntables and a generator and a tent, and it was beautiful. The rain was falling, the rainbow was there. I don't know if most people saw that either on the sunny sky after the rain or on the Instagram feeds that were filling up, but there was a double rainbow over Parcel 5 just yesterday evening, and there were musicians playing electronic house music. And I was there, and I was dancing, and people were coming out who were walking by to Jazz Fest going, oh, why? Is that a Jazz Fest show, or is that just some sort of segue? And there were people there of all different walks of life because this is a hub. This is a cross-section. People come from the bus station, from Eastman School of Music, from work, from all different parts of the city neighborhoods. This is the heart of the city. And I saw a man who sort of looked like he led a rough life, possibly homeless. And I went up to him and I said, what do you think of all this? What do you think should be here? And he said, I don't know, but I've never heard this type of music before. And he just sat on a camping stool, staring at the turntables and listening. And we had some salsa and chips and hummus. And he snacked on them with us. And he stayed there for about a half an hour, just absorbing this music that I'm pretty sure he didn't see my email or my Instagram post, you know, that went out to a...
I think artists, you know. I mean, the other piece of this is that artists, I mean, we're driven to create no matter what. And I think all we need is that space, that opportunity to create. So this space is an opportunity for us to have, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be a gallery space to create in. It can be just a space to exist, and things can happen there if there is a space. And if you have a rigid, you know, this is a Broadway theater performance hall, you know, that's limiting what can happen in that space. And, you know, from a city planning perspective, when is the next time we are going to get such a huge swath of land in the middle of downtown that is open to this sort of opportunity? I think that's my biggest concern, is that this is a huge opportunity that we should not squander with, you know, rushed development. You know, if it turns out after some additional research and whatnot that a Broadway theater performing hall is the best thing to go there, then I'll be all for it. But I want to see an opportunity for everyone to have a voice in that city planning process.
I got to get back to your phone calls. Our phone lines are filled. Bill in Brighton. Next up. Go ahead, Bill.
Thank you very much, Evan. I am very taken with the idea of a living, breathing, functioning parcel that attracts the whole rainbow of spectrum of richness of folklore of territory of where different people that are located in the city where they live, and bring together a medieval fair sort of background where you have all sorts of pop-up crafts and fountains and maybe a mini Highland Bowl for casual concerts. But that the whole idea is it should be open and breathing and vital and attractive. And quite frankly, I was on a planning committee 15 years ago to build the Performing Arts Center in the city. And the problem we found out after 2 years of all sorts of plans and doing things is that you can get all sorts of money for bricks and mortar, but for the ongoing performer, the performance of that hall, many of these groups, they spend all their money perfecting their art. They have no resources. They have no bank account. They have no money for rental long-term or even short-term of a performing arts center. And so each performing arts center in many areas have become mausoleums. I would rather see the living, breathing heart and soul of the city vibrating every month in some way or another with all its diversity.
All right, Bill, thanks for the phone call. Ray?
Yeah, and I want to get to the jobs aspect of this, too. This is always sort of the counter-argument. Oh, well, the open space wouldn't bring jobs, and oh, the Broadway theater and the retail and the condos would bring tax money for the city. I disagree. I think the proposals like Visionary Square, a dynamic civic space, would cultivate small businesses to come and experiment with an idea they have, and they can't afford a brick and mortar.
And large companies that are considering Rochester as a place to relocate.
They want to live. They want to have a reason
have a
to
place
live
to,
and work downtown.
And enjoy their, they want a vibrant space that, like, is active. And so if you how often do you drive through downtown versus
walk through it.
I admit it. I'm in Brighton. I drive to my studio. I would love to take the bus, but it's really hard to haul a bunch of balloons on the bus to a job. But there are times where I would love to. I mean, the footprint of downtown, someone told me, that is about the size of the RIT campus. I used to walk that every day. That was, so when you reframe that concept of, like, yeah, it's really not that huge. You could so the idea that that park is right there, I can hop, down the street from High Falls and walk over to the city center because I know that there's something going on at noon.
And that would keep jobs here and keep people working here. And the idea of a new build, even I talked to someone, actually, one of three female iron workers in the local 33 of Western New York iron workers, Emily Lynch. I interviewed her on Parcel 5 a month ago for an event we had for people to sit in the visionary chair and envision what they saw in the middle of downtown. And if you haven't stood there by yourself, I'd recommend it. It's open. You can just walk on it. And she said, as an iron worker, I want to work on projects like rehabilitating older structures is actually better work for electricians and iron workers. Apparently, it's more time when these new builds go up, like the metal and glass that would probably go up to build this Performing Arts Center condo. It is less time for an iron worker, apparently, and then something where they're renovating a new building or renovating an old building. And you stand in Parcel 5 and you see buildings that are, dilapidated and could be made into some sort of performing arts center, and those are the buildings that iron workers from the iron worker I talked to want to work on. And the jobs would be here because people who live in Tower 280 and people who are going to be renting these apartments that are being built all around Parcel 5 Midtown are going to stay here and want to live and raise a family here. And people are going to tell their friends. And when they come downtown Rochester, they're going to say, what's that visionary square? In Portland, Pioneer Square supposedly brings tens of thousands of people into the downtown Portland area from all over Oregon every year. Cleveland, Ohio has a great example of how they chose to make a civic space in their downtown. And it has turned around their downtown's future. Detroit,
yeah.
The Meritus. So this is jobs, and it needs creativity. This is where city government needs, in my opinion, an artist in residence, like Boston and New York City. They actually have a program to bring in lots of social practice artists as an artist in residence and help city government work with their constituents to figure out these types of urban planning issues creatively. This is a creative issue.
Well, there was just an article that came out that ranked Rochester as like the 19th most artistic city based on whatever metrics they had. So we were just behind New Orleans, which I thought was pretty remarkable. So if we, if we want to jump up a notch or two, we have the talent here in Rochester. We have so many gifted and creative people who just, sometimes the people with the vision aren't necessarily the people that have the money to kind of implement some of those more creative solutions. So it's, how do we connect those people together?
All right, I've got to work through your phone calls because we've got a ton to get through. Let's try to move quickly here. Joel in Rochester next. Go ahead, Joel.
I'll be really quick. So I haven't had an exhaustive study, but the only people that I've talked to since the announcement was made that support this project are suburbanites. I'm still waiting for all the candidates who are running for mayor and city council to really state where they stand on this issue and not sit on the fence like almost every single one of them is doing currently. The third thing is this is a dark box for more than half of the year. So half of every year, this building will be vacant, a dark box in the center of the city to support a special interest, the RBTL. It's really unbelievable. Imagine taking a Target and dropping it in the middle of the city. The only difference is that a Target doesn't have a price of admission that most Rochesterians are not going to be able to afford. I also am concerned still about the Auditorium Theater. Taxpayer dollars went to purchase and renovate that building. It doesn't really seem clear that there is any plan for it, despite Arnie Rothschild's stating so. And then my last comment is that this process stinks. It seems as if this RFP was clearly not transparent, and I wonder how people will treat these RFPs in the future if knowing what's happened with this one. My two questions are this. Why does everything have to be named after Golisano and controlled by Bob Morgan? And then my second question is this. Why couldn't we put this along Mount Hope, where there's already an acre available next to Time Warner Cable, or in the High Falls, where we just remove a million square feet of space? I'll take your comments and responses out off the air.
Joel, thank you. Arnie Rothschild has said that they looked at places in the suburb, but their desire was to be downtown. The parcel 10 or other spots just didn't work, that this was the workable spot that made the most sense downtown. And that's according to RBTL. You guys want to weigh in on some of the other stuff?
The answer to the Golisano question and you know, this is sort of what I spoke to city council about. You know, residents can decide this if they engage their opinions and fill the political vacuum. Citizens need to fill the political vacuum, which is otherwise occupied and steered by billionaire real estate, you know, prophet like Golisano. And you know, the status quo illusion of more jobs through this investment, I think, is just because citizens don't engage the political vacuum, and that's why everything is called Golisano, because...
Well, he puts his money...
He puts his money where the citizens aren't
themselves. Well, I'm just going to say, I mean, Joel, the answer to that one's obvious. Tom Golisano chooses causes, and we're a little bit of a homer here at WXXI. I mean, I'm probably not a perfectly unbiased source on that. But he'll put his money into causes or ideas that he likes, and that often is a good way to put your name on things.
Sure. Well, and I appreciate the Golisano Children's Hospital because they took care of my kids.
And the Golisano Library at Roberts Wesleyan, where I went to college, for example.
Right, his name is Everett. That's
and
why.
You could go back in time 100 years and you have lots of things that are named Eastman.
Yes.
I think the difference in some ways, and maybe it's because the city was in a different state, you know, this city has great bones because of George Eastman and some of the other, you know, original benefactors of the town. But, like, we have a Philharmonic. We have gorgeous structures downtown, these great bones that we can work with. Right now we have this open space. You know, we have bones, but where is our heart? And our heart really is Parcel 5.
I just have one thing to add in regards to the comment about the having a dark box there for mm-hmm. half of the year. One thing I've struggled with in regards to this space is, well, what about the winter? It's cold in the winter. People don't want to be outside sitting in an open space. And I would say our winter is definitely less than 6 months of the year. So I would say that even as an open space, it's more usable.
And being a Rochesterian, you know, if you're choosing to live in Western New York off of Lake Ontario, I think you know, I'm always pushing for people to embrace winter activities. You know, the Visionary Square group, they went out there in the winter snowshoeing and building igloos. And, you know, it takes some artists down there to make, you know, snow sculptures. I'm sure we
could
program.
There's temporary sculptures or temporary structures that you can build that do withstand even Rochester snow.
Sure.
Which could be an interesting, you know, like, just shaking up people's daily lives. Like, what sort of life do we want for us as Rochesterians? Do we want ones where we just hop in the car, go to work, stop at the grocery store, go home, or hop on the bus, go to work, go, you know, like, we need We need some beauty, and beauty should be accessible to everyone.
Well, let me get a listener to kind of push back just a little bit. Oh, we lost Anthony, but Anthony was going to say, why doesn't the panel see Manhattan Square Park or Highland Bowl as a good civic place?
Sure, I live pretty much right next to Manhattan Square Park, and it is a nice place. Martin Luther King Jr. Park, you know, that area. But what it doesn't have, and if you go down and stand on Parcel 5 in Midtown for a bit, maybe just go there, take your lunch there, take a break from work, go there instead of sitting in a cafe, go there, read a book. You know, it's a great sunset there. You'll realize there's a lot of people of all different walks of life crossing through that parcel,
mm-hmm.
not just the sidewalk. People
it happens
diagonally
to be a
cut
special place.
Through it. Yeah, you will bump into many different types of people. Whereas if you go to Manhattan Square Park, it is a great park and it is a great civic space. But it's I would say it's sort of a segregated bubble. When I go there, I don't see diversity. I see a particular, you know, there's the Manhattan Tower there, and you know I engage with people there, but it's not integrated, and it can be. It's just a matter of people walking a couple blocks, but this is a opportunity for this clean slate right in the middle of downtown. Like literally, people are crossing it all the time to mm-hmm. run to the bus station and to go to work and to go to Eastman, and there's MCC and SUNY Brockport and, you know, all
the
these...
heart analogy, I think, is a perfect one. Because you think about it, your blood flows through your body and eventually it hits. It's going to hit your intern, like those really important spots. And I think Manhattan Square Park is, you know, one of those important organs. Like you need these different outlets. You can't just have one spot. So I think those spaces are great. I think this is the heart, man. This is where
people
all of the blood comes
where the
comes
heart
together.
Is. And yeah, people are moving in much higher concentration through Parcel 5 than they are Manhattan Square Park and Washington Square Park. You know, great mm-hmm. to hold rallies in and great to go ice skating and go to party in the park. But there's people always at Midtown going around. You know, it's right across the street from Liberty Pole. And Liberty Pole is there for a reason. You know, you can see Liberty Pole from down Main Street, from down East Avenue. And there are city council candidates. You know, 12 people are running for the 5 open city council seats that are being primaried this September and elected in November. And, you know, Mary Lupien and Sean Dunwoody are holding a culmination of their ballot access signature gathering campaign that's been going on for a few weeks tomorrow night at Parcel 5. They're starting up at 5 p.m. with Frisbee. You can search for it as Frisbee Fun on Facebook, Frisbee Fun at Parcel 5. And they're acknowledging that this is an issue. Mary Lupien actually has been organizing dozens and dozens of people to go and pack city council every month
mm-hmm.
For the Speak to Council sessions on Parcel 5. And it is a part of her platform and I believe directly part of Sean Dunwoody's platform. And I believe... others.
You're going to make me give equal time to everybody if you're not careful here. Right?
Sure. So, Mitch, you know, food.
Mitch Gruber.
You know.
Let me jump in here just because we got to get another phone call
because
a lot of people have been waiting. This is William in Rochester next up. Go ahead, William.
Wait, is that me?
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Oh, yeah. So I wanted to say that I don't think this is an either-or issue. I know RBTL thinks this is their favorite location, but I think there are a lot of other viable locations in the city for a theater, including... say, right across the street where MCC vacated all that space in the Sibley building. It's a beautiful building for a theater. And so in that idea, this location is so critical because it's the heart, as Ray is discussing now. Every great city in the world, New York, Vienna, Prague, even St. Louis, where I used to live, has a square downtown. It's where every adventure in the city starts. You get off the subway, you go to the square, and you figure out, oh, I want to go here, I want to go there.
It's, mm-hmm.
You meet your friends, you have activities. I think to be the city, the great city that Rochester is envisioning, that's the step we should take. We should take a step towards having an open square that highlights the things that are great about here. Rochester is an incredible city for the arts. It's a city for technology, optics, medicine. Theater is a great adornment, but it's not our heart. That's what I have to say.
Well, I appreciate the phone call, William, and we're down to our last 40 seconds, so I couldn't even get to all your phone calls. There's a vibrant discussion going on Twitter. Just some final thoughts. Heidi, I'll kick to you here. Some final thoughts that you want to leave with the community as we go forward on the Parcel 5 conversation.
One of the closing thoughts I would say is, like Evan said, go ahead and stand in Parcel 5. I was down there last night. It's beautiful. Being there at night with all the lights around just gives you a different feel of the space. And definitely try to get involved in what's going on down there.
Yeah, Kelly?
It's not over. The corpulent woman has not sung.
Ray.
What is the heart of a city? Does it pump for all? What is civic space? If residents and engage this issue, they can communicate to city council and have city council vote for something that's more a space for all and not just a few people who want to live in a Broadway performing arts center.
Well, there's a chance you'll see our guests down there at Parcel 5. And as Ray said, you're allowed to go down there now. I mean, it is a beautiful space, but we'll see going forward. We'll continue the conversation. I want to thank our guests, Ray Matrano, Heidi Riegel, Kelly Cheadle, talking about this space that council will ultimately decide.
Come vote. I'll be with the green belly ballot box. What do you want at Parcel 5 Midtown? You can slip a ballot right in there. I'll be there all during Jazz Fest.
And reporters, it's not a done deal, guys.
Good lectures for the media both hours today. We always like that. Thank you, guys. Thanks for all being here. I really appreciate that. Have a great afternoon. Talk to you tomorrow.